We were learning this week about Mukta, and there's this very interesting Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, which is confusing back and forth, switching the opinions of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. And so the Gemara, what is clear is the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon holds that there is no such thing as Mukta on the very surface. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that there is a concept of Mukta. And the Gemara then says, well, there seems to be contradictions between different Mishnayos. Sometimes we assume a Stam Mishnah, we do accept base Mukta. Other times we assume we don't accept Mukta. It happens to be just a very fascinating Rashi and Tosas, just as an aside, where he makes this comment that whenever there's a Stam Mishnah, the reason why I make a Stam Mishnah is based on the Mishnah Edios, that even though we might know who the author is, the Mishnah didn't want to tell you who the author was, because they wanted to give the impression as if the Rabbim, as if everyone held that way. So Stam Mishnah, we might know it's Rabbi Meir, might know it's Rabbi Yehuda, whoever the author is, but they hid the person who's behind it, the Machaber behind it, to impress upon us that this is the opinion of the Rabbim, to indicate that this is how we Paskim. So we have, there's some confusion, how we Paskim with respect to Mukta. Is there Mukta? Is there not Mukta? And then the Gemara concludes that we have this klal, that Mukta exists on Yontif, but it doesn't exist on Shabbos. And the rule states, Shabbos de chamira v'lo asi lezilzuleba. And it comes to a Shabbos where it's very stringent, that the 39 melachas that are asr, the punishment is skila, and if it's, there's no edim v'asra, there's kares. So therefore, it's very serious. We don't need to be reminded. We don't need to keep ourselves in check to add another area of muksa. There's plenty for us to forbid us from doing. So muksa wasn't decreed upon us on Shabbos, and that's Stam, like Rabbi Shimon, who's Mekel, who thinks there is no Mukta. Yantif, however, is Kiel, it's more lenient, we're allowed to cook, we're allowed to carry, so V'asi lezulzula bay, and it's going to lead to a time that we might not view Yantif as such a serious day, and therefore they had to balance everything out, and Stam Lan Krib Yehuda, who's Machmir, and that says there is Mukta. So Gemara says that there is Mukta on Yantif, there's no Mukta on Shabbos. So first we have to understand, so that, I mentioned this in the past, that knocks out all of, like, half of Masechah Shabbos. It's the first parak, the second parak, the brachim, the end, and all Torah Mukta. So we're saying that's only referring to Yontif. It's not referring to Shabbos. So that can't be the case. Everybody agrees there is Mukta by Shabbos and Yontif. There's this one area that's being debated, which is laid out clearly in the Mishnah Berurah and the Orchos Shabbos, that we're talking about an area of types of objects that are intrinsically have a use, they intrinsically have a use to it, but it wasn't set aside, there was no hachana. So food, for example. Food, I may not have been making food, an apple fell before Shabbos, so it's detached from the tree, there's no muksa. I just wasn't making, I didn't prepare it, but it's intrinsically permitted to be eaten, there's a purpose to it. So that's the area that we're talking about here. Yes, there's muksa, of course. Rocks are muksa on Shabbos, everyone agrees. Wood is muksa, everybody agrees. Muksa machmas cheson kis, something that's expensive, like a shochet knife, we're concerned it might break. So that's muksa. But when it comes to this area, they're kalim, or foods that have intrinsic value and use to it, but you weren't maksa them, you weren't making them, rather. That's the area. So if you take a look at the, and I don't have it inside of you, but the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud, Hilchos Shabbos. He says, Ein shem ochel talush haroi l'achila muksa l'Shabbos. There's no item, no food, that's detached from the tree, that could be muksa. Even though it was set aside for schora, I set aside for merchandise, I have a grocery store and I sell apples and I don't want it to get damaged, it's mutter in Shabbos. And he goes on to list, I have eggs that are underneath the tarnagolas. It laid eggs. I wasn't making it, but it was already born before Shabbos. It's not nolad. It's mutter to move it. There's no problem. And all these different things and examples, he says, they have intrinsic value and use. It's not muksa on Shabbos. He does give an example of things I laid, grogros, vitzimukum and grogros, which are grapes I'm letting out to dry for raisins, or dates I'm letting out to dry, and figs letting out to dry. That, if I place them on my rooftop, how do you dry grapes into raisins? You let them go outside in the sun. So I put them on my rooftop. So then I was, that's a case where mad chebiadaim, I physically took them and I pushed them out of my mind from not eating them. If grapes detached before Shabbos, I didn't think about it, or figs or dates, so that's fine. I didn't make them, I didn't prepare them, but I also didn't put them over to the side to dry for a month. So that middle ground, that's all permitted on Shabbos. But on Yontif, if I didn't prepare the food, that's going to be muksa on Yontif. That's the one narrow area where this machlokas is talking about.
So even if you put it aside with the das that you're not using it for, you end up using it for, in terms of eating on Shabbos, but to make dry for grapes.
Right, so
it's okay.
That...
It's okay to change your mind and now take it for...
No. If it's a situation, let's say, the only time food can become muksa on Shabbos is if I, before Shabbos, set it aside that I don't want to eat it, that I want to let it dry for, I'm not sure how long.
If you want to put it on the roof and dry it for raisins, then you can't eat it.
Then that becomes muksa. But if I didn't have any das, I didn't have das to eat it, or I didn't have das to dry it, it was just there.
Right.
It was detached before Shabbos, that I'm allowed to eat, it's not muksa on Shabbos.
Once you mentally designate it, then...
Exactly. It could be mentally, it could be even be physically. We'll get to how to remove it from being mutter, how to be maksid, it's called, and lashra muksa. But if I didn't have any das this way or that way for Shabbos, that's fine.
But the area of disagreement.
That's the area of disagreement. But Yontif,
some would not say,
exactly.
Like you're allowed. Some
correct.
Some would say, there's no muksa. Some would not say, you forbid it. Some would say, there's no muksa, and they would permit it.
Some would say there's no muksa. And on Shabbos, we're saying these items, these foods,
for sure not.
Are there's no muksa on Shabbos. And on Yontif, these items are muksa on Yontif. So we see there are other examples the Rambam gives of different animals, but I don't want to talk about animals because we went through animals last time. But let's just focus on food, because this food area that is inherently permitted, I just didn't think about it this way or that way, I want to eat it or I don't want to eat it, that's not muksa on Shabbos. But on Yontif, if I wasn't making it, if I didn't prepare it, even though the grapes are edible, but I didn't say, let's eat this now. Or I've got a whole storage unit of apples because I own a grocery store. I didn't say I want to take it home for Shabbos, or rather for Yontif to eat. That's a case where it's muksa for Yontif and not a muksa on Shabbos. So this is the area of debate. So now that we've narrowed down, made this clear, because I remember when I learned this Gemara first, and several times when I learned this Gemara, I didn't understand this machlokas at all because, of course, there's muksa on Shabbos. But now, if you look in the Rishonim, the Poskim, it makes it clear that it's only talking about this very area. So let's understand this. Is this really true that these items are mutter on Shabbos and muksa on Yontif?
And the line in the beginning where it says Yontif should be the giveaway that we're really talking about Yontif. And any time it says not for Shabbos, it doesn't mean that.
Not for Shabbos. What do you mean?
The beginning. It says the third line of the Mishnah is mm-hmm. Yomto.
Right.
So I'm saying that should be the hint that this machlokas is really taking place about Yontov and not about Shabbos.
The Gemara doesn't bring a riot from that point, the fact that our Mishnah is talking about Yontif. And this Beta is a Torah Nolda. So Beta is Nola. It's a different point, our Mishnah. Where the Gemara is talking about, in general, other areas of Muksa, where it doesn't specify Shabbos or Yontif, to the Gemara has to make the distinction that Shabbos, these items are not Muksa, Yontif, these items are Muksa. So what comes...
last time I'll let you go. In certain lists, the Nolad is a category of Muksa, no?
Not really muksa. Nola is a different category, separate than muksa. So now we have what comes out interestingly is that Shabbos and Yontif, this becomes another difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos, we know olam tes melachos are aser, and Yontif, there are certain heterim for heter ochel nefesh. What that list is, how many melachos are mutter and Yontif, that we're going to get to in a much later parak. I think the second parak is the machlokas, which melachos are permitted on Yontif. But this becomes another difference. That muksa, there's an area of muksa that's permitted on Shabbos and Asr Yontif. Now, this is different because normally Yontif is more mekel. This is an area where Shabbos is actually more mekel than that of Yontif. So is that really something that makes sense? So the Baal Maor brings a raya from the Gemara in Beit Daf Yud Ches you have in front of you in the sources where the Gemara is talking about being tovel kalim and being tovel people. People being tovel in the mikvah, whether that's permitted on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. So the Gemara talks about a case of a kli became tamim. We know there are two reasons why to do tvilas kalim. One is those coming to the Thursday night shir. Tvilas kalim is when you buy an item from a non-Jew, you have to be tovel in the mikvah, nothing to do with tumah at all. That's a special din in the Torah. If a kli became tamim, then you also have to bring it to the mikvah to make a tahor. Why can't you be tovel a keli in the mikvah yantif? So one opinion of the Gemara says because you might delay it. We don't like to delay things on leaving tamei in your house. I'm not sure if those who are on the Smichas Chaver chat, there's a series of questions and answers going back and forth last night. If you have, the question was posed that let's say a person has a keli in the house and he wasn't tovel it, so then does he have to, should he tovel it right away or is he allowed to wait? And depending on whether or not there's a mitzvah in tefillas keli, what just came was simply a matir. So that was a debate going on. I'll hopefully respond this morning. But what comes out of there, some, I believe, I need to double check this, I believe the poskim say you should not leave a keli in your house untoveled, if you will, because you might use it. Shema Yisha. We don't like to leave things around the house that might lead to something bad, like a takala. You know, we don't like to leave a bechor. If you're learning Daf Yomi, we don't like to leave a bechor in my property before I give it to the Kohen for so long, because I might end up using it and shearing the, you know, the wool and using it for avodah. We don't like to leave things around the house when they're not usable. So we don't want a guy say, oh, you know what, I'm very busy. I'm working all week. I'm working all year. I'm off on Yantif. So Yantif, I'll schlep to the mikveh. It's very easy. I can't go to work anyways. The mikveh is around the corner from my house, so I'll wait till Yantif. That means, so 6 months I'm leaving this keli, my house that's tameh, and I might end up using it and making everything else tameh. So that's one reason why a person shouldn't be tovel kli on Yantif. It's because there may be a person shema yisha. You might delay to tovel the mikveh, tovel the keli. The other opinion says Rava is because it's mitakin kli. It's tikin kli, it's tikin mana. You're fixing something. It was usher to use now, and now you're transforming and you're fixing it on Yantif. We can't change status, we can't fix things. So that's the other reason. So Gemara says, how come a person could go to the mikveh? Person's tameh, he goes to the mikveh. Isn't he fixing himself? So the Gemara says, no, because it's all about impression. It looks like you're fixing. So if I go to the mikveh on Shabbos, you know, I might be gone. I'm hot. I'm going to cool off. I'm jumping, well, not our mikveh. You know, I've got cold mikveh. You're going to the Arizal's mikveh, so you want to cool off. It's a hot summer day. I'm not going because I'm tikkun man, I'm fixing myself. I want to go for a nice little swim. So the Gemara says, that makes sense if the waters are very nice. But if it's a swamp, let's say, it's dirty waters. So who's going to, you know, freshen off and cool off in the dirty water? The Gemara says, no, sometimes a person's really hot and he'll jump into anything he can get his hands on. So that, yes, it's possible a person will go in dirty water. So then the Gemara says, okay, so then that makes sense in the summertime when you're really hot. Let's say it's the winter. It's freezing cold. It's freezing cold in Poland and Russia, in Siberia, and the guy's dunking in. He's opening up the ice in the middle of the lake. He's dunking in. The guy is not hot. So what's the excuse there? Well, he says, maybe he's dirty. He got dirty, and there's a mud on him. He wanted to wash it off, so he's willing to jump into the frozen lake. So there are all reasons how you explain why a person might want to jump into a lake, even if it's cold, even if it's hot. The Gemara says, okay, this all makes sense on Shabbos. On Shabbos, but Yom Kippur, we can't go to the mikvah. One of the Yisurim of Shabbos is Rechitza. You can't bathe on Yom Kippur. So, but there's a heter. I'm not getting involved in the heterim, but the posim talk about if a person needs to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, there's what to talk about. So what's the excuse? If you can't, guy can't wash off on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, no, there's this klal which says as follows. Says Rava, mi'ika midi de b'Shabbos shari u'b'Yom Kippur aser. Is there any example where something's permitted on Shabbos but prohibited on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is not more machmir than Shabbos. Rather, hold b'Shabbos shari, b'Yom Kippur shari. Since it's permitted on Shabbos, it's permitted on Yom Kippur. There can't be anything that Yom Kippur is more machmir than that of Shabbos. So that's the Gemara. Shabbos and Yom Kippur are equal. So what's the relevance? Says the Baal Mor. The Baal Mor says, so that's the case. So Yom Kippur is a Yantiv, isn't it? Isn't Yom Kippur Yantif? This is Parsha Emor. We read at Yom Kippur, we read at El Moadei Hashem, these are the Moadim, and we mention Yom Kippur. It's Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is one of the Yom Tovim.
It's also Shabbos Shavuot.
Ah, so it's also Shabbos Shavuot, but it's not Shabbos, it's Yom Kippur. So we'll get to the what he's referring to is the fasting Gra.
What does it mean that there's nothing more restrictive on Yom Kippur than there is on Shabbos?
Very good. So regarding malachas, at least. Regarding eating and drinking.
And
yeah, so that's not malach related. Those are different areas.
They're restrictions,
but what the Gemara means, in the world of malacha, of actions,
only referring to malacha.
For malacha, there are no things that are more prohibited on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos. So once we've established that these items, you're allowed to go to the mikveh on Shabbos, you go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur as well. That's the yisod. So So what the Gra says as follows. So this idea, which is, seems to be the underlining machlokas, we'll go through the Baal Mor and the Ramban, is Yom Kippur a Yantif or is it a Shabbos? So there's a fascinating Gra in this week's Parsha. So the pasuk tells us El Moed Hashem. I don't have the pasuk in front of me, but it says these are the Moedim. And then first Moed it says Shesh Yamim Tasa Mlacha of Yom Hashvi Shabbos. Yeah, Shabbosun. So it says thank you, Moshe. So it says right in the beginning that these are the Moedim. Let me just pull up for 1 second so I have everything more accurate because David Simai is right across from me. So I don't want to be accused of not that he would accuse me, but I know in his mind he knows this stuff well. So to butcher in front of him would be.
It's in
Rvi, right?
What?
It's in Rvi. Yeah, is it Rvi? Let's see. Looks like it's in Rvi, yeah. So the pasuk says as follows that Moed Hashem, Asher Tukro, Sam B'Mikre Kodesh, Elohim Moedai. So these are the Moedim. You want to know the first Moed? Sheish Yom Tase Melacha. Of Yom Ashri Shabbat Shabbason, Mikre Kodesh. 6 days you don't work, and the seventh, rather 6 days you do work, and the seventh day, lo sasu, Shabbos, hi l'Hashem, b'chol Moshe Zech. And that's Shabbos. So that's the first Moed. And then it says, Eil Moed Hashem, Mikai Kodesh, Hashem Tukro, Sam Moedam, b'chol Sharishon, Barbarasa, is Pesach, and then it goes on to Shavuos, and so on. So ask the girl, Shabbos is a Moed? It's a Mikrei Kodesh? That's the first thing that's mentioned? Sheish Yomim, Taseh Melach is the first Moed? It's not a Moed. So Gra says, this is actually an introduction. Shabbos is an introduction. It's a model for Yom Tov. There are 6 Moedim throughout the year, which are like Chol, and there's a 7th Yontif, 7th Moed, which is like Shabbos. We're not talking about Shabbos here. We have 6 days that are like Chol, because Yontif is somewhat like a Chol, because you could do Sir Malach, you could do Ochel Nefesh. So what are the 6? We have 2 days of Pesach, 1 day at the beginning, 1 day at the end, so that's 2. Shavuos is 1 day, that's 3. Rosh Hashanah is 4. First day of Sukkot is 5, Shmirat Teres is 6. Those are 6 Yom Tovim where you're allowed to do it. Sheish Yom Tase Melacha, which means the Melacha of Ha'ochel Nefesh. The 7th day, Shabbat Shabbosom, where you can't do any Melacha, is referring to Yom Kippur. That's Shabbat Shabbosom. So we see from this idea, this model of the Gra and the Psukim here, that Yom Kippur is a type of Shabbat Shabbosom. But it's also part of a Moed. Where does it stand? We know that the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah has a Machlokas. How many Aliyahs do we read on Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Kiva has the Zadas Yachid. Rabbi Kiva thinks Shabbos we lane 6 aliyahs and Yom Kippur we lane 7 aliyahs. That's not how we paskim. We assume Shabbos is 7, Yom Kippur is 6. Yontif is 5 though. Right? So a weekday is 3 aliyahs. Chol Moed, Rosh Chodesh is 4. Yontif is 5. Yom Kippur is 6. And Shabbos is 7. So it is a fast day, but the question becomes now, well, Yom Kippur has 6 aliyahs, so it's in between Yom Tif and Shabbos. Is it more like Yom Tif? Is it more like Shabbos? On one hand, there's no Heter Ochel Nefesh. It's more like Shabbos. That's what you would think. But why is there no Heter Ochel Nefesh? It could be simply because you can't eat. There's no point. I mean, there's an Isser to eat. If there was a Heter to eat, let's say in theory it's a Chola. And this, so if a Chola, he needs to eat something. Are you allowed to cook for a Chola on Yom Kippur? The answer is you can't. You're not allowed to. But we could still raise the question, why is it Usser to cook on Yom Kippur? Is it because it's like Shabbos? Or since you're not allowed to eat in Yom Kippur, there's no heter v'ochel nefesh. But somehow, theoretically, it's really a bechinas Yom Tif. So that's the machlokas. So the Baal Mor says, just like Shabbos and Yom Kippur are equal when it comes to being tovel in the mikvah, so he says, so too Yom Tif is in that same list. Shabbos, because Yom Kippur is a Yom Tif. So if Yom Kippur is permitted to tovel in the mikvah, Yom Tif is also permitted to tovel in the mikvah. And therefore, based on this Gemara, says the Baal Maor, that when the Gemara says there's Muksa and Yontif, and not Muksa on Shabbos, we're more Machmir and Yontif of Muksa, that's not true. Because the other Gemara here by Tevila tells us that Yontif and Yom Kippur are equal to Shabbos. There is no difference between Shabbos and Yontif. That's the Baal Maor's Raya. What comes out from this is the Baal Maor clearly assumes that Yom Kippur is a type of Yontif. So once Yom Kippur is in the same level as Shabbos, Yom Tov has to be on the same exact level of Shabbos. There can't be any distinctions because Yom Kippur is a type of Yom Tov. Everyone here? Good? Okay. So that's how the Baal Mor concludes that this Gemara, we don't hold like the Gemara in Daf Beis Amud Beis. There is no difference between Yom Kippur for Yom Tov and Shabbos. The Ravid agrees also fundamentally. As well as the Ravid inside, it's a fascinating Ravid in terms of Psak Halacha. The Ravid also agrees that the same type of muksa on Shabbos and Yantif, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yantif in terms of muksa. It's only if a person doesn't know anything, only when it comes to an Am HaAretz. we have certain areas of halacha we don't like to tell people outside the Beis Medrash because they get confused. Yiddishkeit is a very confusing halachic system. It is, because you know that's why the Gemara says only poskim could really paskin shad, because being medame milsa milsa, that which appears similar to me, to use one thing as a model, may not really be similar. There's so many ways to be mechali between this case and that case, and different models. So it's very challenging how to paskin shilas. So the Ravid says, even though fundamentally Shabbos and Yontif should really be the same in terms of muksa, if an Amaretz, he says, if an Amaretz were to come, he would paskin be machmir on Yontif, because an Amaretz is confused. He doesn't know. Really, there's no muksa on Yontif, the same like there's no muksa on Shabbos. But a guy asks me on Yontif, can I do this? I would tell him not to. Why? Because he says, oh, well, if I could do this, and I could do that, and I could do that. Yontif is not really a Yontif, because I could cook, and I could do this muksa. So if a guy's asking a question, he says, Karu ani lomar, says the Ravid. Shimboli shoyel, if he comes to ask me what to do on Yontif, about muksa, morin lo b'yontif, I would paskin on Yontif lahachmir, don't do this. And if he asked me the same question on Shabbos, I would be mekel. Even though fundamentally it's both of them should really be mutter. He agrees like the Baal Mor that Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Yontif are all equally the same. But when it comes to a person asking a question, we don't want to confuse him. So when the Gemara in Beit that Beis on Beis says, we're machmir on Shabbos and we're mekel, rather we're machmir on Yontif, and we're mekel on Shabbos, that's referring to the people who don't know. The Am Haaretz who doesn't know any better. But fundamentally, all the other Gemaras which equate them is referring to the true halacha. That's the Ravid's halacha.
With Rabbi Yehuda is so that people should have the proper respect for Yontif. No?
People, why he wrote
in other words, there's another Mishnah in Shabbos where he writes the Mishnah, Rabbi writes the Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon.
Right.
He is writing like Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
So that on Yontif, people should have the proper cover for Yontif.
Right, but what he's saying here is only for the people who don't know anything.
Yeah,
the Amiharetz,
yeah.
For
those people.
Exactly. So, but which is fascinating, that comes out, this whole Gemara is simply talking to the Am Haaretz, even though it's not really true. It's not even a gzera that they made. It's only if a person came to ask a question. I'll give you an example of something like this. These are one of the things where they say, don't say outside the Beis Medrash. I'll give you two examples. Since it's early in the morning and you guys came out to learn, that means I could trust you guys not to go out and blurt this to the public. But one of the things is that they bring down, for the first time I saw this case, I was like shocked by this. I used to, before I was married, after yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I would spend my Friday nights oftentimes learning through or reading through Rabbi Ribiat's Lamentes Melachos. Just read and get whatever I could get from it. And one of the things he had written there was, let's say I'm getting dressed Shabbos morning, I see my laundry tag is still on from the dry cleaner, it's still on my shirt.
Yeah.
Or the tag. A tag where I bought a new shirt, and I'm so excited to wear it, and I left the tag on and I didn't rip it off. So the halacha is you're allowed to actually rip it off on Shabbos, but don't tell that outside the Beis Medrash because you
cut it
perhaps. So, but you're allowed to take it and rip it off because since it's not permanent, so therefore it's not a really violation. It was never kosher in the first place. It was never tofu in the first place. You could tear it off, but just don't tell anybody because if people see you doing this, they're like, oh, I could tear anything I want right now. I could tear toilet paper I wanted. And those are questions that, unless you're really stuck, one should not. So that's an example of something that is permitted, but we don't like to make it too public because people could get confused. Another thing we don't like to say out loud, and I've discussed this in the past on Sunday morning, about the Indian of davening in a minyan. Davening in a minyan is a wonderful thing. The Shulchan Aruch only calls it a lishtadel. Try hard to daven in a minyan. Now, once you tell someone who doesn't take minyan seriously, oh, it's lishtadel, so actually, it's funny. A guy, the rabbi on the trip, said he heard my shiur about this lishtadel. I says, so I'm not sure how many other people heard this, but I tried emphasizing that this is, even though the halacha might be lishtadel, firstly, Rav Moshe Feinstein says it doesn't really mean lishtadel. It really means it's a chiyuv. And even those who say it's lishtadel, it's only in certain circumstances. We don't say these things outside the Beis Medrash. But these are types of examples. The Ravid says, muks as well. The heter of muks on yantif, legabe, these types of items, is really mutter on yantif as well. But the guy who doesn't know any better, the Gemara says, tell him it's us, just to make sure he's keeping everything in check. So this is all the sheet of the Baal Mor and the Ravid, that Shabbos and Yontif are all the same, because they assume Yom Kippur is a type of Yom Tov. Because once again, the Gemara, this is all Raya. Once the Gemara says, is there something that is usher on Shabbos and permitted, or rather, something permitted on Shabbos and us Yom Kippur can't be? Shabbos and Yom Kippur have to be the same. And then by extension, Yom Tov as well, because Yom Kippur is a type of Yom Tov. But the Ramban argues. Ramban says that, not sure, he thinks fundamentally Muksa Nyantif is more Machmir. Not because the Amharis might know. Even if a Talmud Chacham were to ask a question, we tell him it's Muksa on Yantif. Because there's a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yantif. So if you want to look inside, this is the end of source number 5, right before the Rambam. The Ramban in Milchemes Hashem, he authored Milchemes Hashem in the, around 10 lines up, the bold. The Gave Shabbos, he writes in the bold, Lo Asi Lizulzulebo, a person won't come to disgrace Shabbos. Yontif, which is the key, which is more lenient in the eyes of people because you could cook. Asi Lizulzulebe, people might come to disgrace the day. Ulfikach Hichmir Bo Yoser, we're more Machmir and Yontif on Muks items. Why do they set aside muksa? Why do they create muksa the chachamim? In order that people should come prepared. What's going to happen? You know, I could cook on yantif, I won't prepare anything. So let me just like start making food on yantif, and then I'll enjoy my erev yantif. I'll go to the pool erev yantif. I won't have an erev yantif at all. I'll have a nice relaxing day. And yantif, I'll start working hard. And Chacham didn't want that to be the case. They didn't want us working hard on Yantif. They wanted everything to be prepared before Yantif and cook a little things here and there on Yantif. So they created this idea of muksa, of certain food to muksa. You want to come prepared? Make sure you set aside the grapes before Yantif. Make sure you set aside the figs and the dates before the eggs before Yantif. That was the impetus for creating muksa on these items on Yantif. So he says, now what comes out is, if the Chacham say Yom Kippur, rather Yantif is Asr and Shabbos is Mutter, but doesn't the Gemara say Yom Kippur and Shabbos have to both be equally mutter? Right? If Shabbos and Yom Kippur are both mutter, when it comes to tefillah, they're always the same. Mi'ik and mi'id, is there anything that Shabbos is mutter and shari and Yom Kippur is aser? No, Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. How come Yantif, are we saying Yantif is more machmir than Shabbos? So the Baal Mor says, because Yom Kippur is not a Yantif. If you look at the last few lines of the Baal Mor rather the Ramban in the bold, Masha Amru, that which it says, Mi'ik imidi debeshabbos mutter, uv Yom Kippur aser, mipnei sheshabbos Yom Kippur kedusha achas lehen. They're the same. V'lo asi lezuzule be, b'yom Kippur yosem eshabbos. L'fikach hishvu osam shekol midos chacham kenu. Shabbos and Yom Kippur are the same because there's no heter ochel nefesh. Yom Tif is a whole other category. Yom Tif and Yom Kippur are not the same. So we could say this yesod by Shabbos Yom Kippur that they're both the same and everything should be equally mutter and equally aser. But Yom Tif, where you're allowed to do malacha of heter ochel nefesh, we can't make such an equation. Yom Kippur and Yom Tif are fundamentally different. You can't cook on Yom Kippur, but you can cook on Yom Tif. And therefore they had to be gozer a muksa on Yom Tif as well. So what comes out from this discussion is whether really the underlying point, I believe, is whether Yom Kippur is a type of Yom Tif or not. If it's a type of Yantif, so then we're going to say, if Shabbos Muksa is Mutter, and Yom Kippur Muksa is Mutter, then Yantif Muksa is Mutter as well. But if you're going to say that Yantif is different fundamentally than Shabbos, than Yom Kippur is not a type of Yantif. Yom Kippur is either like Shabbos, or it's a different category, so you could still say Shabbos and Yom Kippur Muksa is Mutter. But Yantif, which is not related to Yom Kippur at all, Yantif Muksa is going to be Aser, which is the Shita of the Rambam. That seems to be the Nekudas HaMachlokas about how to categorize Yom Kippur, whether it's a Shabbos or whether it's a Yom Tov. And that's going to dictate whether or not Yom Tov is going to have this muksa of these types of foods or not. How do we paskin? So the Rambam paskins that there is a difference, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins is a difference. But look inside here, we see there's a Rivi L'Shitaso. The Rambam in number 6 clearly says in Hilchas Yom Tov Perak Aleph Halacha Yedzayin, he clearly writes in the bold, "V'yesh b'Yom Tov, there are those items that are Yom Tov, Mash'ein came b'Shabbos." There are certain things that are differences that exist in Yom Tov as an Isser, but doesn't exist on Shabbos. Isser Muksa, she Muksa Aser b'Yom Tov, umutar b'Shabbos. So we see the Rambam holds of there is a chiluk, that there are more muksa items on Yontif than are on Shabbos. And the Ravid number 7 says not true. Lo hakol shavimba. Not everybody agrees to this, because the Ravid holds that Shabbos and Yontif are actually both the same. That there is no muksa on Shabbos, just like there's no muksa on Yontif. It's both the same. Unless a guy asks me what to do, and I'm already asking me what to do, I'll advise him differently on Yontif. I'll be more machmir, and I'll be more lenient on Shabbos. But fundamentally, says the Ravid, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif, legabe muksa. So there's machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether we say Yontif is more machmir by muksa or not. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishaburu all paskin that we're more machmir Yontif than on Shabbos with regards to this category of foods. Now it comes out a really interesting discussion is what happens about Yom Kippur. How do you paskin like Yom Kippur? Is Yom Kippur like Shabbos and there's no muksa? Or is Yom Kippur like Yontif and there is muksa? So if you go to number 10, these are all the famous Ein Bein Mishnayos that appear in Maseches Megillah. And the Mishnah tells us in number 10, this is Daf Megillah, Daf Zayin Mabez, Ein Bein Shabbos Liyom HaKippurim, El Shezeh Zedona Bidei Adam, Vezeh Zedona Bekaris. The only difference is, what punishment does one get for violating the halacha, the malacha of Shabbos, the malacha Yom Kippur? If one were to violate the malacha on Shabbos, and there were Edim and Hasra, there'd be a punishment of Skila. And if one were to do the same in Yom Kippur, the punishment would be Karis, which is not Bidei Adam, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes matters into his own hands. That's the only difference, is the punishment. But the Gabi, all the Malachos, all the Muks, everything else, everything's the same.
Rabbi, but you're asking Gabi Amaris this question. This question does not really exist halachically. It really only exists for an Amaris.
Only for the Ravid.
This Muks.
Only for the Ravid. We're talking about right now, not for the Amaris. We're talking about fundamentally. Do we say that everything is Yom Kippur mutter like Shabbos, or is it going to be usher like Yom Kippur?
And that's the Ravid is the only one who holds that that's for the Amaris.
Correct. Yeah. It's a very nice chiddush of the Ravid. It's an interesting chiddush, but yes, correct.
Those Ein Bein Gemaras don't. None of them bring down all of the differences.
Correct.
They're all very specific.
So exactly.
How can you say
that? Yeah, there's so much written on all these Ein Beins about, what about this? This wasn't mentioned, that wasn't mentioned. But this is always back and forth. The response always is what you're saying. You can't bring any rides because it wasn't exhaustive. These lists were not exhaustive at all. Just giving one yesod. Others say, no, it was a yesod that really was capturing all the other differences. So this is like an endless game back and forth. There's no like real proving anything. These are where all the discussions are found nonetheless. So the Rosh Yosef, he makes a comment on this mission, one of the Achronim on Maseches Megillah. So he writes, so since everything in Shabbos and Yom Kippur are usher, outside of the punishment, he writes in number 11, this is in the bold, Kol she'asu l'taltel lo b'Shabbos, usher b'Yom Kippur, b'mishaseinu, from our Mishnah, everything that's usher and Shabbos is usher Yom Kippur, and everything usher Yom Kippur is usher and Shabbos, the ain't chilek ben Shabbos l'Yom Kippur, klal. Which means that muksa should be the same as well. That which is permitted on Shabbos, the Gabi Muksa, should be permitted on Yom Kippur as well. So it's more like Shabbos, he thinks. But then he says, Ra'isi, I saw on the Lechem Mishnah, the Ein Bein is only referring to Melachos Deraisas, but lo b'milei d'rabbanim. I mean, you can't bring me a Raya. When it says Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Kippur, it's referring to Melachos Deraisa, Bishul, Hotzah, go down the list. When it comes to Dine d'rabbanim, that was never on the radar. So you can't bring a Raya from this Mishnah, that Muksa is the same. Maybe it's really the difference. And Rosh Yosef thinks that, no, when they made the Ein Beins, it was not only including Dine Deraisa, it was even including Dine Derabanan. So it comes out here, it's a machlokas, whether or not one would say Muksa on Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, as implied by this Mishnah, or you can't learn anything by the Mishnah because our Mishnah is talking about Deraisas, not Derabanans, in which case maybe really Yom Kippur is like Yom Tif, where this type of Muksa should be us. Do one last piece here about what happens when Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide. Or rather Yom Tov coincide. We know some interesting things happen when Shabbos and Yom Tov coincide with each other. We know it's Shabbos, but it's also Yom Tov. It's Pesach. This year, Pesach was on Shabbos. First day Pesach was Shabbos, right? So now it's a Shabbos and it's also Yom Tov. So do we say the halachas of Muksa are like Shabbos and these items shouldn't be Muksa? Or is it a halacha of Yom Tov, because it's also Yom Tov, and we should say these items are going to be muksa. So we have very interesting things when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Which one wins, like this struggle? For example, what parsha did we learn on Shabbos, first day Pesach? Which parsha of the week was it? Yeah, there was no parsha. We didn't read Achrimos. It should have been Achrimos, but we didn't read Achrimos because Yontif won the Kriyas HaTorah. It was we read a Yontif reading. What about Aliyahs? How many Aliyahs did we read? It's Shabbos, 7. So Shabbos won in terms of how many Aliyahs, but not in terms of what we read. Musaf. Do we read a Shabbos Dika Musaf and add in Yontif, Elokeinu Yalav Yavo, or do we read a Yontif Dika Musaf and we add in Dinei Shabbos? Right, we read Yontif. We read it, it became a Yontif. So the Musaf became a really big as a Yontif. And all the Dinei Tefillah. We don't say Shabbos Tefillahs on Yontif and add Yalav Yavo. We say a Yontif Tefillah and we add in Shabbos. So there are many things that we see. Which one's winning? Is it Shabbos that's winning or is it Yontif that's winning? Are you allowed to cook on Shabbos Yontif? Certainly not. So we see Shabbos wins Lagabe Melacha. So there are different areas of figuring out which one wins. There's a really interesting Gemara in Kol HaTadir, Per Kol HaTadir, Maseches Vachem. It talks about a klal, Kol HaTadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodim. There's also a klal, Kol HaMekudosh V'Sheinu Mekudosh, Mekudosh Kodim, which means anything that's more Kadosh than something else, so then that which is more Kadosh precedes that which is not Kadosh. So an example of this, Pnei Yeshua, not everyone agrees, I think the Shah Gazari argues, Pnei Yeshua thinks, even though the Gemara is talking about real Kedush like Karbanos, so we'll get to in just a second, he thinks it's true of Deraisas versus Derabanans. A Deraisa mitzvah is more Mekudosh, and a Derabanan is less Mekudosh. So let's say I have an option of doing a Deraisa and a Derabanan in front of me, you should opt for the Deraisa because that's more Mekudosh. It comes up when it's talking about now, I don't remember the actual case of Pnei Yeshua and Shagas Arya. I could be missed. But one of the applications that they talk about is Svir Saomer and Havdalah. Okay, this Matzah Shabbos, past one, the next few weeks, we're going to be saying Svir. We're also going to be reciting Havdalah. So which should come first? Let's say you're in the shul where they say Havdalah and shul. So I grew up in shul, Bnei Yeshua, and they say Havdalah and shul. So which should come first? Should you say Havdalah first? Or should you say Svir HaSomer first? What would you guys think?
Havdalah.
Tadir, Shein and Tadir. So which is more Tadir?
Havdalah.
Havdalah. Havdalah, so in the year, how many days in the year in a Jewish calendar? 354. So 354 divided by 7 is how many? It's around 50 and a half, right? So how many spheres are? Svir HaSomer, 49 days. So is that 49 versus 50? Is that so much Tadir?
It is.
Is it? So it could be Tadir is not defined by how many times a year. It's like how many times it comes up. So another example, let's say L'davar Hashem Ori versus Baruch HaNafshi. Which should you say first? So which one's more frequent? Baruch HaNafshi, we say in Rosh Chodesh. We say 12 times a year, but really half of them are really a double Rosh Chodesh. We see them 18 times a year, Baruch HaNafshi. But L'davar Hashem Ori, we say 50 times. That's Rosh Chodesh Elul. 30 days, 20 more days into Tishrei, that's 50 days. So we say Baruch HaNafshi 18 times, but we say the Davar Hashem Ori 50 times. But the Davar Hashem Ori is only one time a year, it's one unit of the year, it's a block of time. Baruch HaNafshi comes every so often. So Havdalah comes every single week, Svir is just one block of time. So how to define Tadir is part of the calculation. But also, what's another calculation in terms of Havdalah versus Svir? Ah, so which one's Deraisa, which one's Derabanan? So that's machlokes. Ah, very good. So the Svir HaSomer, the Rambam holds Bizmanez as Deraisa. So that's more Mekudosh if you hold it such a Yisod. And many others hold it's Derabanan Bizmanez. That's a machlokes. Based on whether or not Karbanos and stuff, fine.
But on a simple level, it's not the next day until you say Havdalah, no?
No, the Havdalah is a different Indian. The Havdalah, people assume it's that way. Havdalah is not true at all. You could say, if I wanted, I could keep Shabbos. I could say Havdalah after Tzeis, even though I'm still keeping Shabbos. Forgetting the fire right now, without a fire even, I can make Havdalah. If I want to extend my Shabbos for another 2 hours after Tzeis, I want to end Shabbos at 11:30. Right. I want to end it Tuesday, let's say.
Right.
I could still say Havdalah while it's Shabbos for me. Forgetting the Eish right now. I don't need Eish. Someone else could light the Eish for me. I can make kind of the midst of Havdalah, keep Shabbos afterwards and not do. I can't do Melach if I have such a correct. Exactly. Shabbos doesn't end it. Shabbos is a mitzvah that appears that we do after Shabbos is over. The time of Shabbos is over, but not when the actual keeping of Shabbos is over. But that's a
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rambam holds that Kiddush and Havdalah are only are
are deraisa in terms of the words. The Havdalah of wine is only darabana.
Right.
So if you daven marav already, so the Havdalah that they're making is only darabana.
Ah, very good. So it could be, firstly, why the Havdalah is deraisa in the first place even. That's, the Rambam has his language, kishem shemekachin beknisa shabbos kach b'tziyasa. I forget exactly the language. So the machlok is whether Havdalah, the Ketz Mishnah brings 2 days, whether Havdalah is deraisa as well. Kiddush is deraisa. You're right. With words, al-yayin, though, is derabanan. The question whether Havdalah is deraisa or not is dependent on how to read this Ramam. The Ketz Mishnah has 2 days. So now, so that question of Sphere versus Havdalah, so is Sphere deraisa derabanan? That's one question. Bizman is there. Is Havdalah deraisa derabanan? That's another machlokus as well. So now it's also based on whether you hold the Pnei Yeshua that Kol Makudosh, Shein Makudosh, whether we even care about their Isis, their abundance in terms of the order of events. So in that conversation, the back to the Gemara in Zvachim, Kol Tadir, so wants to know, it's bring rayas from, let's say, on Shabbos. You have a carbon musaf on Shabbos and it's Rosh Chodesh. So which one comes first? And at Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, the Gemara says, wait a second. When Rosh Chodesh coincides with Shabbos, the Musaf is no longer just a Rosh Chodesh Musaf, it's a Rosh Chodesh Shabbos Musaf. They all come together. So what happens when you have this fusion of two Yom Tovim, a Shabbos and Yom Tov, coming together? How do we react? There's a Kriyas HaTorah of a Yom Tov, but seven Aliyahs like a Shabbos. It's a Tefillah of a Yom Tov, but we have 3 meals like Shabbos. So what about Muksa? That's the background of this question. So this is a big discussion. In the end of the day, the question becomes, what is halacha l'gabe this area of muksa? When yantif falls out on Shabbos, are we machmir because it's yantif? Or are we mekil because it's also a Shabbos? So this was discussed, the Chua Sheol Meshiv, along with many others at Or Sameach writes, as well he discusses this, that he says in the Chua Sheol Meshiv, this is in front of you, those who want to see this inside, and we'll finish with this. If you look at Masha Kosev Linen, Imchal Shabbos v'yomte b'hadadeh, they fall out on the same day. In other words, Yomte falls out on Shabbos. Do we say, I amina muksa mutter, this area muksa is permitted, like it came in the Shabbos? It's really a Shabbos, v'lo asil l'zazulebe, no one's going to take advantage of the Shabbos? Oh, Dilma, perhaps we should say, since it's a Yomte, nami asil l'zazulebe, people are going to be mezals on such a day. So he ends up saying, he goes to Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and daf yotes, that we say divrei kabbalah is kedivrei torah dami. That which is divrei kabbalah has the same status of that which is divrei torah. So he says we have an example in Gimel Tishrei, Tom Gedalia, which is an issa deraisa the divrei kabbalah kedivrei torah dami. The whole since it's yesh nami issa derabanan haynu megillas tainis hitzrocho chizik kedei shalolas asul zuzebe. So he says, even though he's talking about different dinim of fasting and whatnot, and the Divrei Kabbalah of Tom Gedalia, but the Gemara ends up saying, even though, second here, and I'm forgetting, I need to look back, I forgot the Raya exactly now, I need to look back at the Gemara there. But either way, he wants to bring a Raya from the case of Tom Gedalia, that when something, then two things coincide, when there's an Issa Deraisa coincides with an Issa Derbanan, when a Shabbos coincides with a Yontif, he says that even though Hachanai Muksa, even though Be'etzim it's really Shabbos and it's a very serious level of Isser, which would mean you don't have to keep Muksa Lagabi these areas. Muksa is actually permitted with these foods that we're talking about now. But since there's Yesh Nami Isser Kal, since there's also a low level Isser, Dainu Yamtiv as well, Asa Lezuzabe, people are going to desecrate, they're going to take advantage into Yamtiv, and therefore, they have to balance out and compensate by saying Muksa, in fact, is Asa. So what he's saying here is, we don't go based on the being a Shabbos, we go based on it being a Yontif, and we say these areas of Muksa are, in fact, going to be Asa, since it's not only a Shabbos, but since it's also a Yontif, that will lead people to Asa Lezuzebe, and therefore we pass in its Asa.
What was the answer with the Sphira question? Which comes first?
In terms of Sphira, the halacha l'maaseh, we do Sphira and Shul first. It's not really an Ogeya.